He has a plan. So when he began to speak this to me concerning his agenda, I know that he was speaking directly to me, to this house, and to many people. When I got this particular portion of the message, I knew he was speaking to the body of Christ. This wasn't just for the house of man. Pastor Marty, pay attention. I'm going to speak to you about what you're going through. No, this is for the body of Christ. So turn with me, if you would, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 4. I'm going to read out of the NIV version. And we're going to begin at verse 1 through 13. Many of us know the story, but I want you to go to Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. Do you have it? If you do, say amen. All right, the Gospel of Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13, out of the NIV. I will begin reading at verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." I'm going to read verse 8 once again. Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Turn my mic down a little bit, please. Turn it down. Number 9, verse 9. The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered and said, "Do not put your Lord God to the test." Verse 13. When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it is true yesterday, today, and forever. We graciously receive what you have in store for us tonight. We know that you have released the manna, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. It is our responsibility to go and gather, receive, and to apply what you have given us. Let us grow by your Spirit and by the prompting, as Jesus was led by the Spirit, but he was full of the Spirit. So lead us, O God, by your Spirit, and let us be full by the Spirit of the living God. So we thank you for it now. We serve notice right now to every unclean and every foul spirit, every spirit of distraction right now. In the name of Jesus, you are bound and removed out of this atmosphere. We thank you, Father, that your word shall go forth and it shall not return void unto you. It shall accomplish what it was set out to do. We thank you for it now in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said, amen. I want you to put your attention, first of all, before I begin anything else. You see in verse 8 where it says, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." We understand that to be that we only worship God and we only serve God Almighty. So in the way that we serve in our everyday life, we should do it as we're serving unto God. Hello? This isn't a rebuke. This is just something just to share with you. You should worship God, but you should also serve like you're serving God. If you are at your job and then you're doing a poor performance, what would your boss tell you? You would immediately be put into an office. If they had an office, sit you down and begin to talk to you about your performance. But if you were to do it like if you were doing it unto God, we have a tendency to feel because God is not here, he will not deal with us on how we're serving. He will get you to have an understanding. We have to serve God. In everything that we do, we should also be an ambassador. What is that? It's a representation of Christ himself. And in this particular story, this is where he's talking about where Satan has come to tempt him on who Jesus should worship. We need to understand that some temptations are going to come because it is his agenda to tempt you. Amen? How will he tempt you? He will tempt you also in your service. How you serve others. How you serve in your job. How you serve your spouse. How you serve your children. Children, how you serve your parents. How you do that is going to determine whether or not Christ, the hope of glory, resides in you. We can say that we believe in Christ, but if you do not follow after the patterns in which he has demonstrated for us, then you are only a believer, but not a follower. We have to take this word and put it into practice. We have to put it into activation. How many of you, no, don't raise your hand, don't raise your hand. This is just a rhetorical question. How many of you had an issue with anger and outburst? I'll raise mine so nobody else, Jennifer was the first one. She goes, that's me. there's times it's just, it's like a muzzle over your mouth. But at times you have to understand it's, you can't always blame the enemy. Many people have used that to say that the devil made me do it. Yeah, that devil is Y-O-U. He has a name. The reason why he is the deceiver, he is the tempter. Now, do you see here at verse 13, it says, when the devil had finished all his tempting, he left him until an opportune time. You see that? In other words, he's saying, it's not over. I'm coming back. And I'm going to come back in a different way than what you're going to expect. Turn with me, if you would, to Mark chapter 8. We were in the Gospel of Luke. Now turn to the Gospel of Mark. Chapter 8, verse 31. And when you have it, say amen. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, verses 31 through 38. It will be out of the NIV version, the New International Version, the New Intelligent Version. Mark chapter 8, verse 31 reads this wise. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. Then he must be killed, after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. Get behind me, Satan, he said. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. Verse 33, I'll repeat it, says, but when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. Get behind me, Satan, he said. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. Verse 34, then he called the crowd to him along with the disciples and said, whoever wants to be my disciples must deny themselves and take up the cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. Isn't it something that when God has called you to do something for him and for the cause of the gospel, that he's telling you, you have to pick up your cross and follow him? My question to many in the church, as the body of Christ, is, have they picked up their cross? Have they picked up the burden and carried it the distance that God has told them to carry it? Or has their agenda been merely the agenda of mere humans and not of the things of God? Did they pick it up for a moment and then leave it and not continue on the journey? Because if you're carrying a cross, there's a weight that is on you that is going to challenge you to continue on. See, if we're picking up the weight by by the cross, then he's telling you there's some things that you're going to have to learn to deny in your flesh. We have the gospel of grace that allows us to do what we want as long as it feels good. And it's got to be good. That's not grace. No, that's your emotions. That's the way of society today that tells us that we must do what makes us feel good to ourselves. And as long as it feels good to ourselves, let us do it because it gives us joy so that we can be happy. And the world will be a much better place. Look at the world around you today. Is it much better? No. Then I beg to ask the question to the body of Christ. Have we negated the cross and picked up the gospel of grace but forgot about the mercy of the sin that is needed? You see, when we continue to have our agenda and how we're to carry the cross, then we're not going to have a full understanding of truly what the gospel is. Yes, it is good news, but good news to who? To the one that is in need of help. To the one that is in need of a Savior. See, this is what he's saying in verse 31. He begins to teach him that he is the Son of Man. The Son of Man. Do you read that? He tells him that you are the Son of Man. You must suffer many things and be rejected by who? The elders. The elders are from where? The church. The chief priest, Lord. Not just the elders in the church, but the ones that are in charge, overseers, and the teachers of the law. So in other words, he's telling them, not only are the apostles and the prophets and the teachers going to reject Christ, but he must suffer by their hand. And he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. Didn't he just state the agenda of what Christ came to do? This is Christ's agenda. Now watch this. Who took Jesus aside to rebuke him? Peter. Peter took Jesus to the side because he wanted to be polite to Jesus. He really was being very concerned for Jesus because Jesus kind of just started talking out of emotions. Just kind of saying some stuff that didn't make no sense. So instead of Peter rebuking Jesus in front of everybody, he decided to get Peter and just kind of bring him to the side. You know, because he loved him so much. And Peter tells Jesus, oh no, you missed it. I know they call you a prophet. Because you see, and earlier in the verses before that, if you go up to verse 29, even back to verse 27 on, he's asking, who do the people say that I am? Oh, some say you're the prophet. Some say you're John the Baptist. Right? But then he asks this very important question. He makes it very personal. But who do you say that I am? Who am I to you? Who am I to you? Because what's going to come out of your mouth next is going to tell me your internal agenda based on the relationship that you want to have with me. Don't miss that. Because what comes out of your mouth will state your internal agenda based on the relationship that you want to have with me. So who is the one that says that the most prolific thing in the scripture? Peter. What does Peter say? You are the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, the Son of God. Right? And then so then he says, yes, Jesus, acknowledge him. You're right. You're right. How many of us would get so excited if we did something right for Jesus and he lets everybody know we did something right? Wouldn't it be good? In front of everybody, he says, Rebecca, you are right, Rebecca. Rebecca, you're right. You got it. They didn't get it, but you got it. And upon this rock, this revelation, I will build my church. You shall no longer be called Peter. Oh, so Rebecca now is, ooh, I got it right. Looking around, everybody, y'all missed it, but I got it. Now watch this. Now the agenda of Christ is beginning to come forth, and he begins to tell him exactly what he must do. and what his purpose here on earth is. After he tells them that he must be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, here comes Rebekah, Peter. Rebekah now goes up to him, says, "Oh, since I know who you are, this can't be right. Come with me, come with me. I don't want them to hear that I'm going to tell you you're wrong." Didn't he just tell them who he is and that who sent him? And when he said that he is the Messiah, what he's saying is he is the one that is coming to redeem Israel, the Jewish nation, from the enemy. So he had this understanding. So now he knows that he's Christ's son. I mean, he's the Son of God. He's Christ, the anointed one. But now he's going to go and question what he just said. Say it again. Don't we all question what God tells us to do? Don't we all question, even though we know he's God and he gets it all right, Holy Spirit tells us to go do this, prompts us, and the next thing that comes out of my mouth, I'm gonna fast. I'm going to pray about that one. I don't believe that was the Lord. I think it was my emotion. I don't know if that was me, the devil, or God. And we question God. What comes out of our mouth is coming from our heart. What is in our heart is where our treasure is. That's why every time God wants to make you grow, he's going to stretch you. And when he begins to stretch you, he's going to stretch you in the area where your heart is. Okay. Where is he going to stretch you if money, and I'm not saying that you love money, but you're in need of money? What is he going to do? Do you think God is going to just take all your money away? No, but the enemy knows what you need and where your faith is tied to, what you're believing for, and what you're asking and continually praying to God for. So what is he going to do? He's going to test you in the finances. I said test you. Is God going to test you or the enemy? The enemy is going to test you and tempt you with your money. All of a sudden, I've been tithing. Well, we went through this many times. All right, for now, when we got saved, give you 10%. Okay, we're going to do 10%. So we got my gross. It's going to take it off the gross because we want the business blessed. 10%. And then we're going to give more because that's our offering. Oh, we learned that right away. Right away. So get checks coming in, 10%, go. And about 3 weeks later, no more contracts, no more work, no job. So immediately we're like, I ain't giving them more to the church. But guess what? We're not the only one thinking it. Others that in the family are saying, why are you giving so much money to church? Why are you believing in the church so much? Why are you giving so much money over to the pastors? Don't you know they drive all these big cars, big old houses? They got money in their pocket, but you ain't got enough money to pay your bills. Oh, this is only for a few of you in here. Oh, okay. You never been tested that way? Girl, shoot, I've been tested like that many times. I said, I ain't going to give another dime to you, Lord, until you bless me. What? What? He says, oh, that's your agenda. Out of your mouth states your relationship, your agenda, based on your relationship to God. Oh, no, this isn't working because that's Old Testament. That's Old Testament. That's not new. Old Testament means it was a law. You had to. What is New Testament? You get to. Because you love God. Okay, can I just break it down? What is the agenda of God? It stems back all the way from Genesis. In Genesis, he created a garden. And in that garden, he created four rivers that flowed to the garden. And it had every plant with every fruit already on it. Don't miss that. Was already on the tree. Are you hearing me? What is God's agenda for his people? To place us in a garden where provision is already there waiting for you to take dominion, ownership, cultivate it, not in the way of sweating by your brow. So when he created Adam and Eve, his agenda was to place him in the middle of the blessing. So who came along? Oh, some serpent that wasn't crawling yet but was walking. Watch this. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. When the enemy comes in walking into your life, is going to use words to trick you up to make you think what God has spoken to you already isn't true. He tells Adam and Eve, you can have all of this. He didn't have to wait for it to grow either. Don't wait for the fruit. It's already there. You don't have to wait for seed time and harvest. That came later. Because when I created you already in your harvest. I created you in mind with you being provided for. Without you having to work for it. You don't have to work for this. It's already there for you. So your efforts have nothing to do with you getting your blessing. It's already there. Watch this. This is my Bible. You're not going to find it in any version. This is my version. My version. In my Bible, it reads, Martin. I have given you all of the trees, and then you can eat of all the avocados you want. And on that tree over there, you can have all the flour tortillas you want. Don't look for it. It's not there. Don't look for it. On this side of the garden, you don't know nothing about this. You haven't read this in your word. My word reads this. On this side, there's fajitas on this side. And it's already on the tree waiting for you. And if you go to the back side of the garden, there's a salsa tree. It's in my Bible. And when you get to the back where the salsa is, look to the left because I made a special tree for you. Amen. In that special tree is the collard greens. Now you feel me. Right next to the collard greens, I made a pudding tree. Banana pudding. And then when you get a little tired of what you're eating, if you look, you got to look real close. Real close. I'll put some fried chicken on that one right over there. You got to understand this. When he made Adam and Eve, he put them in a garden that was full, fresh, and already bloomed with all its fruit. Can you imagine? Look, you know how many fruits are out there, right? And I'm not talking about just at HEB. There is international fruit that you have yet tasted or even seen that was in the garden to begin with. By the time they ever got tired of eating all the fruit, they would have been already looking for the other fruit that they already tasted once. He had given them a variety of blessings. A variety of blessings. You ask my wife what I want to eat, and she's going to tell you, Mexican food. Well, of course. Every now and then I tell her, I want soul food. I say it with a different kind of tone. I want soul food. I want that chicken that come off of that iron skillet. With the cornbread that's been made on that iron skillet, that you're going to smell, that it begins to just even fill the room. Watch this. What I'm telling you is how I get excited about it, right? Can you imagine Adam and Eve when he created them and put them in there? His agenda was for them to be blessed, to enjoy what he has already done for them, not what they got to do in regards to how to receive what he's already done for them. So here comes now something that enters into the agenda of God and the agenda of man to twist what God's intention is. Lord, now we should begin a little upset because my guacamole, my tortilla tree, and my fajita tree, my collard green tree, my banana pudding tree, I'm still fighting the devil on this one. You see what I'm saying? Are you seeing this? Now you see the worth to the tree, what it meant so much, because you have to make your blessings personal to have an understanding how God got it to you. Four rivers flowed to the garden. Not from the garden, to the garden. So that he wouldn't have to get the hose or a sprinkler or an irrigation system. And if you only have a hose without a sprinkler system, you hit the hose like this. And if you wanted to go further, you got to put your thumb in that thing and then it sprays out. Come on, you know the struggle. He didn't want them to work for their blessing. I'm going to bring all the nutrients for the trees. You don't even have to see the seed. You don't have to see the seed because seed time and harvest was not yet established. It was already in full bloom. So here comes the rivers that are flowing to the garden. Think about that garden in your backyard. Think about that garden in your kitchen. Invite me over for dinner, breakfast, lunch, all that. I'm coming. But watch this. They didn't even need rain because it would water from the floor of the garden up. Isn't that beautiful? What is he saying? I'm not going to bring a storm into your life in order for it to grow. I'm going to make it come from the very ground that I made you from. There was no need for storms. There was no need for lightning to charge the soil. There was no need for that because everything that he did, he created for the blessing for us. When he created man, he created us out of the soil. Where? From the garden. Okay, I'm going to help you women in here because there's a lot of women in here. Men, you back me up on this one a little bit later, okay, but it's going to help you too. The female was not created out of dirt. Out of a rib. Man has one less rib than woman. Agenda. Agenda. God knows exactly what he's going to do. What is there for you ahead before you get there? I'm going to make the garden so I can make man. After I make man, I'm going to make woman. And then I'll put woman in the garden with man. What's this? Why did not the agenda of the enemy come when it was just Adam? What's this? I know you're going to miss it because I miss it all the time. It wasn't until God did a supernatural thing out of man, he created woman. Then the serpent came, not from the garden. When he created woman, the woman came out of man, not out of the soil. So now I have something to tempt that wasn't the intention. When I made man, I made from the soil of the garden. When I made woman, I took from man. And now becomes an opportunity. that wasn't in the garden, that was created from the garden to be tested. I just read to you that the Son of Man shall be tried, rejected, and killed. Who was the first son here on earth? Adam. The moment that the rib created the woman now became a pair, watch this, that can come into agreement. They can come into agreement to make Satan's agenda come to pass. Are you seeing this? Now there's someone that can come in and speak to get you to agree, which is Satan's agenda, to agree with what he's going to say that would twist God's promise and make you follow after what Satan wanted, but not what God wanted. What's this? Now we know the rest of the story. Where now, that because of that, now came seed time and harvest, that we're now, everything was going to have to be done by the cultivation of their hands and the sweat of their brow, that everything had to be done. Why? Because the temptation came walking in to the garden. Came walking in looking for someone to just get into agreement with. Can I get an agreement with you? Because if I get an agreement with you, I got the next one. It says that one can put 1,000, but 2? 10,000. I just need an agreement from one. I just need an agreement from one. I don't even want to get started in the whole fact that even though Eve sinned, Adam had to answer to God. That's a mandate order from God. Your wife can mess up, and daddy's got to answer for it. Woo! That puts a responsibility on a husband that, oh, Lord, Lord, that's rough. That's rough. Now, listen. We're in the garden. We have everything being supplied for us. We have everything, and our intentions are right there with God, just to be there with God and have everything already there for us. But then comes a serpent to twist the word, correct? Twist the word. And what happened? When he fell, when Adam and Eve fell, here came the curse, right? And that happened in the garden. Where was the temptation with Christ? In the garden. They say it was the wilderness. But what originally it was, prior to it becoming the desert, wasteland, and wilderness, it was what many scholars and what many scientists say that it was, that when Christ was being tempted by Satan, it was in a garden which used to be the Garden of Eden. When the enemy comes in, it takes all of your abundance and kills it. If you listen and agree with the twisted words, his agenda is to take your abundance and take everything that you need. Comes to kill, steal, and destroy, right? The word. So here he is. Now we fast forward out of the garden. We're over here now in the New Testament. And we're reading here in the Gospel of Luke, Luke 4, where he is the one that is being tempted in the garden. And then it says in verse 13 of Luke 4, it says, when the devil had finished all the tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Back in the garden again. He left. So then, watch this. Now you see here in Mark 8, where Jesus tells him his agenda in verses 31, verses 31 and 32. But then in verse 33, when Jesus turned and looked at the disciples, after Peter took him aside to tell him he was wrong, then he says to him in verse 33, but when Jesus turned and looked at the disciples, he rebuked Peter. He said, get behind me, Satan. He said, you do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. That opportune time came again. Where? This time it came once the identification was established on who he is and what he must go through, what God's agenda is for Christ. He first understands who he is in the identification of Christ, but then what he does, he comes in and tempts him because of the agenda. The agenda of the enemy is to take you out from what he wants to get to you. The enemy wants to take all of your blessings, tear it up, get rid of it, and make it become a desert wasteland. But the promise of God for you, his agenda, is so that you stay in his abundant life. Wholeness. Nothing broken, nothing lacking. Everything that he has for you. But we have to understand, is it our agenda? Is our agenda merely of humans? Or the agenda and the concerns of God? We need to make sure that we're doing this right. He is the Son of Man. He must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the teachers of the law. And he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. Since he spoke plainly about this, he gave his agenda. He made it very clear. And when he said that he is a Son of Man, he's speaking to the disciples, and they understood that in Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 through 14, Daniel writes, "In my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples and nations, men of every language, worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed." So they understood that particular passage when they said he is the Son of Man. They understood that because that's all they had was the scrolls of the Old Testament, scrolls of the prophets. And when they would read that, that's what they read. They read the scrolls. And they had an understanding when Daniel said that he is the Son of Man. So here comes that deity again. It's being established. And after he takes them and realizes, no, we don't want this to happen. I don't want your agenda, God. I want my agenda. I want to be close to you. I want to walk with you. I want to keep you. I don't want to let you go. That's my agenda. And Peter was wrong. He was wrong. We need to let Christ do what he needs to do. Do you understand? Even if it goes against what our agenda is. In other words, now let's look at it in a different form. Yes, he's already gone to the cross. He's already suffered. He's already been put into a borrowed grave. And he rose again, exactly like he said. But now how does that reflect to us now? Right now, it tells us that when God is doing something in the midst of us right now, maybe it goes against what we're believing that he should be doing. We want God to do things a certain way. Our agenda. What? For merely human concerns. Just for us. What does he really want for us? His intent all along was to keep us in his garden so that he could commune. Even after they fell in the garden, guess what? He still showed up just to fellowship with them. That was a proof right there that even though when you fall, even when you're tempted, I'm right there with you. I still have fellowship with you. I still want to come and speak with you. I still want to come and walk with you in the cool of the day. I want to come and spend my time with you and show you all the goodness of what God the Father wants to release here on earth. I want to show you that the garden that you were living in, the garden that you were taking care of, was the garden that is going to come down from heaven. The second and the last will be here established on earth, which is the kingdom of heaven. He says, but what you did is listen to a twisted truth. A twisted truth. How many of you have seen crocodiles or alligators on TV? If you've seen them in person, proud of you, amen. And I don't mean at the zoo, I mean like in the wild. But have you ever seen them take a piece of meat? What is the first thing they do after they bite down? Say it again. They roll. They call it the death roll. Now, that is called a spirit of Leviathan. The spirit of Leviathan is that of a serpent like that looks like a crocodile. It has the snout like a crocodile and the teeth like one, but the body is the shape of a serpent. When they begin to write about this in Job, Job begins to say that he saw this creature that came from the depths of the sea, and his name was Leviathan. What is that signifying to us? Leviathan is still around. He's still around for a reason, because he's going to twist the truth. He's going to twist your words. He's going to infiltrate into your dominion, into your place of domain, into the place of your worship, into the place of your job. He's going to get into that place and begin to twist words to cause all kinds of division. He's still at work. That's his agenda. This is that opportune time that the enemy is using in this hour to the body of Christ. He is twisting things, twisting words, and twisting the hope of the people that have towards God for a better future. It is not going to be the underline of the new president. It's going to be what God has instituted for his people, his believer, his followers, that he's going to do something that is great, but we have to be in position so that when Leviathan comes in, he can't twist what we already know to be true. He can't take us out of what God has already declared. He can't take us away from what God has already promised. We have to learn to stand. If we do not stand, we will fall to the schemes of the enemy. What is he trying to get you to do to fall? To get to his position of being cursed. Because he first walked in the garden, but he had to leave crawling on his belly. So his job is not to let you stand, but to get down and out, just like he is. Doubting his word. Doubting what God really wants to do. Go back to the tithes when we were struggling giving our tithes because everything was stripped away. Many Christians and many people used to tell us that you're not going to keep what you brought into this relationship with Christ. He's going to strip it away. And I believed it. Boy, did I believe it. But the reality, it wasn't that Christ stripped it. It was our ignorance, not knowing. We did it by faith. Let's go buy that new car. I know we don't have a job, but God will provide. So here we go, and we pray. Shabba, shabba, shabba. A dabba, dabba, doa. What do you mean we got denied? Well, you have no income. You don't have a job. Oh, we can work this out. We got this. We're going to do everything we can to do what we want to do to make what we want to do happen and manifest. So we go. Honest truth, being very honest. Yeah. Tell my dad to make up some checks. It's payroll checks from the restaurant. That was my salary, so we could get this vehicle, because we were in need. No one did, okay, just me, okay, it's just me, I just tell myself, because nobody else does stuff like that. Y'all don't lie to get what you want to get. Y'all don't scheme to get what you really want. Y'all don't do none of that, just pastor, okay. So I got the van. We were blessed, we all excited, we got the van, hallelujah. You pay the insurance. That's a whole different story. Insurance don't care what your pay stub says. Can you pay it? So you can show me all your stubs you want. I need it paid every month. Why are you going to be like that? So guess what started dwindling? Tithe. Because our agenda was to keep the van. Instead of keeping God first. Because we are more concerned about our human concerns than God's agenda. We got to make sure that we understand that what God is doing in our life, it's not by law. It's by his love and grace for us. His mercies and his grace are renewed every morning for us. Truth be told, what if he took grace and mercy away that every sinner would be judged the moment they sin. Lord, who's preaching today? Ain't nobody preaching today because everybody full of sin. Who's going to be at the church? Ain't nobody going to be at the church. They all dead. Think about it. So what we do, we take those things for granted because what is in us will come out of us and what we declare. Our agenda is always internal, but we speak it out with our mouth. And it will tell you your true relationship with Christ. If you're quick because you're always getting angry and getting mad and you're running off at the mouth, really question how much time you really spent with God. Because if you really spend time with God, you'll watch what you're going to say and how you're going to say it, and especially who you're going to say it to. That's just the truth. Your agenda must match His agenda so that what comes out of your mouth will be to reflect His agenda. Called the will of God. I want to be in the will of God. I'm fasting, I'm going to pray. I want to hear from the Lord His will. Do what He said. Well, how do I know what He said was Him? Now that's where fasting and praying comes in. Because it gets rid of your flesh and the spirit rises and you begin to hear more clearly. Talk about fasting. Y'all fast. And then y'all tell me if you heard. Fasting is one of those things. It's a tool for us concerning us. How many of you love to fast? You just love it. You look. Anybody raising their hand? Nobody's raising their hand. Is that not our lifestyle? We're supposed to. I'm guilty of it. I don't fast. I'll fight everybody fast. I didn't hear God on that one. That wasn't God. That was you. Fast. I'm going to go through my food real fast. But we should have a lifestyle of praying and fasting. But we put our agendas first. Ow. How many of you want to get back to the garden state? You want to get back to what He originally intended, right? Do you feel that we have to wait until He returns for us to get there? Because if you do, you're still listening to the twisted truth. The reality is He wants us in that garden now. That we can walk and His provisions be there. Seed time and harvest is now something you have to deal with because of our fall. That's been instituted for us. Seed time and harvest got instituted because of timing so that we have a timing of seasons. That's why we have seed time and harvest. And the cultivation process, the waiting process, the digging process, the weeding process, all that is symbolic of the kingdom of heaven. You can't negate it. We have to go through it. It's His agenda. But we're going to get what He has for us. Okay? Now what did I tell you about my trees? Make your trees personal. Make your trees personal. So you'll fight for what's really right. You got to make what God has given you personal. You fight for your son, don't you stop. You fight. You fight for your baby girl. Because you're going to see that everything that the Lord showed you is going to come to pass. That's why He's put you together for a reason. Because you're going to see some things. And out of her mouth, even more is coming out on how she is beginning to move in a different direction in the things of God. The hardships. It's not because you have to grow. You're still growing. They'll come. They'll be personal for you. But the hardships that you have as a mother, as a matriarch, is because where your children are going. The more you stay on your face praying, pacing around and crying out and screaming out to God. Yeah. It's because you're seeding the atmosphere for your children, that they'll step into it and they'll see it. They'll see the harvest of your time. I want to say this to you. What was taken and what was lost is coming back to you. Here's what the Bible says. Seven times greater. Seven times greater. What the enemy has taken, he must repay. That's restitution. He must pay back with interest on what has taken place. That doesn't come with just the material things, the financial things. That also comes with time and things that you have missed in the process of your life. That speaks of health as well. I declare the healing virtue of God be released over your life right now and through your body, from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, in Jesus' mighty name. I declare it to be so. I declare it. What you have been experiencing, beloved, in your quiet time. I see you at the table. I see a little cup of coffee, like a quiet time that you have. And your Bible is there, but your hands are on your head, and your elbows are on the table, and you're just thinking. And I hear the Lord says, the more that you meditate with me, and you don't think that you're praying, but you're speaking directly. And he's hearing your thoughts. He's hearing your cries internally with your heart. And he's beginning to turn some things around concerning your sister. There's some things that are about to change that you're going to see the full manifestation of his very presence. I believe that the very thing that God is going to do on your behalf is begin to make you speak things into existence by way of what is in your heart that he's already placed there. And he is going to show you what to say and how to say it, and you're going to see change within the family. Keep your mind and your heart on God and watch what he'll do. Many times we as Christians, we don't even understand what is going on. Why are we in this place like this in our life, God? Why are these things happening? What is going on with our family? What is going on with so-and-so? But the reality is, he says, I just need you to just be still so that I can show you. I'm in the midst of it because I'm in that storm. But I'm going to bring them out because you've learned how to stand. There's going to be a peace that is going to fill your home. Peace like never before. I'm not saying your house is in turmoil, but I am saying that there is a peace that is coming to your house that you're going to know God has heard your very thoughts. I see you. You're tired. It's the point where you're just, you guys put the instrumental on. Your hands are to the point where you're tired. Your mind is racing because you're tired. You're carrying burdens, but you're tired. I don't know what to pray. I don't even know what to say. He says, don't say it. I already know it. I know your thoughts, and I know your heart. And he's bringing healing and a peace into your circumstance. I pray that you hear the very Spirit of God, because he hears your heart and he hears your thoughts. I'm going to touch your knee, and I don't mean nothing funny. Okay. I speak strength. Your body, the load that you carry, the load that is on you. I hear the Spirit of God saying, because you have gladly said yes, that you said, yes, Lord, I'm here again. He says, what I'm going to do, I'm going to remove the stress that is on your shoulders, that has caused you to be weary. It has caused your feet and your legs to be tired. That your walk that you were walking is like a boulder's been on you for so many years that you've been trying to shake it off, but you didn't think it was going to come off. God says, I'm going to remove it, and you will feel the very lightness of my presence. Even in your job, promotion is coming. You've been faithful with the little. You've asked for time. Time to be restored. And it's coming. You don't worry about the other thing. I got this. As I take care of this, take care of that. And I'm going to bring you a comfort to you that you'll feel it even in your walk. But I'm restoring to you what you've asked. Time. Time is coming back to you. Hallelujah. Yeah. There's some good things that have taken place in the body of Christ. We have to have that understanding. That's His plan. His plan. It's His agenda. Everything, Kelly, that's within your grasp, and you see it, and you're so close. But why, every time it gets right there, it just seems like I'm being pulled. Something pops up, something causes me to lose. What is it, God? Going to come to a place of rest. She's going to see that all her hardships and all her prayers come to pass. I know that's mom. I know that's mom. And I'm just using an example. Don't we have a tendency to look at mom like, that's just mom. It's just mom. It's just mom, right, Trey? Josh, it's just mom. But what I say to you, mom needs her miracle. She needs her miracle. You're going to see it. You're going to see it. And you're going to enjoy this miracle as well. You're going to enjoy it. Thank you for loving her, caring for her, and helping her. Thank you. God sees every time that you're really concerned, but you don't always say. You just kind of keep to yourself. I don't want to put this out there like that. I'm just telling you. He sees everything, and He knows your heart. He wants me to tell you thank you for helping me. Thank you. The miracle that is coming to you has to be a supernatural miracle, because you can't do it on your own. You're tired as well. But your miracle is going to be for your family. And not only are you going to be at peace, but your children, all three, will be at your side, enjoying what God has given you. Oh. Talk to you about your daddy just a little bit. I love that man. I love that man. There is such a turnaround that's getting ready to happen for him. You know, I pray for him a lot. And it's going to happen for him. He's given and he's sacrificed a lot. But there is a turnaround that's taken place for him. That the hardships and everything that has come by way of nights, is being broken and severed. That it will no longer take root in his life. He will see an increase in his business. But he won't have to work as hard or as long. He wants to continue to spend more time. This is something I hear the Spirit of God saying that He's told you. I want to spend more time traveling. I want to travel with you guys. I want to do what I didn't do before, and I want to make up for the time that was lost that I didn't do as a father then. I'm not bashing Him. I'm just telling you, how many of us would want to go back and do what we didn't do before with our children? God's making a way for that. He's making a way. He's making a way. He's turning things around. And I see this in his heart. There has been like a black hole. And he's afraid. but it's closing. It's closing so that he can trust again. The love is there. He's going to see that blessing all over. It's a good man. We all have our ways. We all have them. I know. There's a turnaround that is happening for him. And he's going to come and tell you. You know why he's going to come and tell you? Because he knows it's because you've been telling him it's going to happen. You've been telling him how God is watching after him. You've been telling him how God has been protecting him. You've been telling him how God has been sparing him. You've been telling him how God is going to do good things for him. So he's going to come back and tell you you were right. There's a lot more time in the story. A lot more time. A lot more. John Michael, the season in which you and your sister have been apart is about to come to a close. But you'll be in that place where it was nonstop till 3-4 o'clock in the morning, just plain joking, cutting up. What the enemy came in to devour, God is snatching away, and he's going to put together what was meant to be together. I hear by the very presence of the Spirit of God, I am turning the relationship around. And you're going to experience the joy that you're in need of right now, concerning that relationship. I know she loves you and you love her. I'm not saying that's it. But there's some time there that was needed to be healed. God says, I'm going to move in that time so that you guys can be together once again. You're going to see some good things take place with the both of you. She's in a good place. But you two together will be in a good place. You'll see that. You'll see that. Amen. He's good. How you feel? Good? Amen. Thank God. How you feel? You feel great? Amen. Amen. Kelly, you ready to receive your miracle? We're ready with you. We're ready with you. We're ready. How you feel, Mama? Amen. We're ready to receive with you as well. We are. We stand with you. We receive with you. See, when the enemy came in, he was looking for an agreement. But the body of Christ stands in agreement with you. And we see the fullness of it. Amen. Theo, brother, not because you got stung by bees, and that's why you're so swollen. Now they're looking at you like, what bees? But at the wedding, I was looking over at you. And I saw you stepping in by way of a contract. You're going to start off small, but you're having your own gym opened up for you. And as you step into this, because of how you are and your discipline and what you do, many are going to come and you're also going to minister to them. You're going to be able to talk to them, encourage them. I'm going to say this in a way that will make sense to probably a lot of people. You will be like a life coach to them, that you're not only going to change their physique, but you're also going to change their spirit. You're going to make them believe in something that they didn't believe in, not just in themselves, but also, to many were saying, a higher power. You say, yeah, there is one. You're going to have a way of discussing things with them that is not going to be so churchy, but they're going to know what you have to say. And they'll listen because you're not trying to talk to them or at them. You're talking with them. And I see that what God is about to do is bring you by way of an association that says, come here. I think this will be good for you. And things are going to be turned over for you. And you're going to walk in and start doing your business. It is going to be challenging at first, just like every business. I ain't prophesying doom to you, but I'm telling you, it's challenging, but the end result will be greater. Will be greater. I see, and I don't know what kind of you do, but fruits are there. I see like 3 bags hanging, mirror, and I see machines to the left, The whole floor is like a rubber, and I don't mean like cushy mat, but the, you know, the weight mats. But in the center, there's like a logo you already have in mind. If you just keep your ear to God and your heart to God, watch what He'll do. He's going to bring it into alignment. Because His agenda for you is to encourage others to follow Him. Isn't it great that He'll do it with what you desire? Instead of getting this kind of word, you're going to the Philippines. You're going into the jungle and you're going to minister in the jungle. For some, yeah, amen, let's go. And for others, if they were to tell me, you're going to the jungle, oh, Lord. You're going to be with what I gifted you to do. What I've graced you to do, it shall take place. And you'll be a life coach. And the one that's like nodding this whole time right next to me, I mean next to you, to me like this, she's going to be in there being like a life coach as well. Speaking life. Speaking life. Don't let your mouth be silenced. The enemy has kept you away too long. You're an encourager and you're an exhorter. Exhort the people to do greater for themselves. Exhort the people to become better than how they are right now. How? By leading them to the God that made you become who you are. And you're still becoming more of what He wants you to become. And you'll see that even greater things are going to begin to take place by way of your influence. I've gifted you with the gift of influence and the gift of your mouth to speak the word into existence. Prophecy resides inside of you, but you know it by way of discernment. But I'm telling you, it's prophecy. Just release it. Don't keep your mouth silent. Speak. He'll lead you to a whole different place in your life. A whole different place. Your mama's going to say, I've been telling you all along. Been telling you. You want to listen. And that's not how your mom talks. Don't think I'm just, this is just me. That's not how her mom talks. But I'm just excited to see what God is doing. Good things. But in the middle what God's agenda is, the enemy has one too. Let's let our agenda be connected with God's. Amen. Let's watch what He's going to do. Let's watch. Let's watch. Sherry, you're moving. You're moving out. You're coming out of your apartment and you're moving. Not only are you frustrated in being there, been in a cave too long, like you haven't come out, you feel like you've been in the darkness for too long, like you haven't been used, like you thought you were going to be used when you were sent there, but none of it has come to fruition. You felt like you've been in the cave all by yourself, like God isn't hearing you, God isn't listening, that God doesn't even begin to move on your behalf, but He's kept you, He's kept you, He's kept you. You've even had to do what David did. He had to strengthen himself. He had to strengthen himself. You've had to speak and prophesy to yourself. You've had to lift yourself up. You had to pick yourself off the ground, but God is saying, I've heard and I've seen your faithfulness. I am moving you out of that place. I'm taking you out of the cave of Adullam and I'm moving you into Gilgal. I'm moving you to the next place, and in that place will I crown you, beloved. Will I crown you where it will come unto you. You've been faithful with the little. Been faithful with the little. I will make you ruler of much. You're getting ready to come up out of that place and move into your own. I don't know how God is going to do it. I wish He would show it all to me. But I'm here to speak into your life, to exhort you, beloved. You are a woman of God and a woman of faith. And you are a family of faith that will begin to move people into that place of their ministries. It's interconnected within the city. Huh? You are dealing with not just devils. You're dealing with principalities. How do I get past this? How do I see the end of my struggle? How do I get past this cloud so I can see straight and hear clearly? And God is saying, I'm moving out the principality. I'm moving out the distractions. I'm moving out that's trying to keep you from getting yours. I prophesy to you right now in the name of Jesus that you are coming out and moving into the very blessing of God. continue to stand. Because ministries are interconnected with you. Not just in this city, but from states across this country. And not only, but it will be through countries internationally that people will begin to ask, will you send some help this way? Someone gave me your number just to get a hold of you because something tells me you have something for us. Look beyond the music. Look beyond just an outreach. Look beyond that. He's teaching you how to put things together, how to be faithful with the little, how to organize and structure, but not how to take advantage of the people that come to work. You're moving out. You're moving out. Your struggle has caused you to be weary and tired in your heart and in your spirit. You said, but my seed isn't crushed. It's not crushed. I'm not bitter. I'm grateful. Watch as even more oil flows. Why do you think God bring two generations that are up and growing now into your house? Because you will change generations that will follow. Bless you. Beloved, I bless you. Serve notice unto the spirit of infirmity right now in the name of Jesus. I destroy your very works off of her life right now in Jesus' mighty name. Loose your hand off of her. Take your hand off of her. You have no place and no authority in her life. That goes to each and every one of you that has a sickness in your body. I loose healing right now in the name of Jesus into your very body. And I cancel the plans of the enemy right now in Jesus' mighty name.